War Room Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment. This is Stephen K. Bannon. It's 23 October, the year of our Lord 2019, and this is the third episode. You heard our second episode this morning, recorded yesterday. I'm here with Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller. This is our first live broadcast. We're going to do this every day, 7 days a week, from 9 to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, eventually Eastern Daylight Time. We'll go to Eastern Standard Time, I guess a week or 10 days. We're going to go all the way through 7 days a week until Donald J. Trump is acquitted by the United States Senate in his impeachment trial. And we anticipate, at least everything has been forecasted today, that that will take place sometime around Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve. So 7 days a week, 9 to 10, you're going to hear War Room Impeachment. Now, why are we doing this? We're doing this for one simple reason, is that right now you kind of need an organizing principle, location where you can actually hear every day that you can hear everything that's going on in this process. And this is a process. There's no smoking gun out there. There's no one single piece of evidence that's going to sway this. But it is a process. And what is this process we're running? We're running an impeachment process. How did I get this idea? It was very simple. It was a John Frederick show a week ago. I was doing an interview with John Frederick, which I do about once a month, into the Commonwealth of Virginia, where I was born and raised. And I laid out the basic what's going to happen is Nancy Pelosi, on a date certain, probably sometime right before Thanksgiving, is going to bring two articles of impeachment. One is going to be abuse of power. The other is going to be obstruction of justice, at least. They're going to have a vote in the House, and they're going to pass that. They're going to send that to the Senate right after Thanksgiving. The Senate would then act as the jury for the trial of Donald J. Trump on his impeachment and potential removal of office. John Frederick, respect, and John Frederick was the only radio personality we had in Trump Tower on the night of November 8th, 2016. He was a true believer, but he had his pulse on the deplorables. The only one that showed up was John Frederick. And John Frederick said, "Oh, Steve, what are you talking about? This is fake news. This is deep state." You know, and then afterwards, he told me in the next hour of his broadcast, all the deplorables, all the hobbits called in and said, "You know, what is Steve didn't get the memo? This is all deep state. It's all hobbits. It's not happening." I then gave an interview after I screened a film I made on Huawei, on this economic war with China. And the New York Post reporter went through it. I said, "Hey, as sure as the turning of the earth, Nancy Pelosi is going to bring articles of impeachment, going to pass those articles of impeachment and send it to a trial in the United States Senate." They tell me at the New York Post that went viral. Daily Mail picked it up. I think it got 500,000 hits, at least what the New York Post reporter told me. I got tremendous feedback. People saying, "Well, you can't possibly believe this. It's fake news. It's deep state." No, ladies and gentlemen, it is not. It is Nancy Pelosi. And whether you agree with her, whether you like her, whether you think you don't agree with her ideologically, she is tough as boot leather. And she has focused very much from the early morning hours of November 9th of 2016. When she was a minority leader, of how to plot and plan, take the House back, show elections have consequences. And I said, we were on the campaign trail with many of you people right here in the room, elections have consequences. As soon as they take back the House of Representatives, they will move quickly and in a very focused manner to impeach Donald Trump. Why is that? Because the progressive left believes something the Republican establishment does not believe. They believe that Donald Trump is a transformative president and a historic figure. And they understand that Donald Trump's changing of the federal judiciary, they understand his deconstruction of the administrative state, they understand that Donald J. Trump is going to be in their personal lives 10, 20, 30 years from now. So orange man bad, they will do anything to nullify the 2016 election and to remove him from office or to blunt his presidency. And that is why they worked like Trojans, right, to win in 2018. And I do not agree with the progressive left ideologically. Admire their work ethic. And in fact, in the John Frederick's radio network in my hometown of Richmond, Virginia, in the Virginia 7th, Dave Bratt was removed from office and replaced by a Democrat who is now part of that 31 that is so important that they control the House of Representatives. It happened in the epicenter of the radio audience that we are talking to today. If you happen to see Frontline last night, Zero Tolerance, which was a special they made on immigration, you understand the central beating heart of changing immigration and make it a foundational element before Donald Trump had ever come on the scene in 2014 as a political candidate was, yes, Virginia 7th and the defeat of Eric Cantor in a primary by Dave Brat. So this all gets back to this audience. When I keep saying that the Senate is going to sit in judgment as the jurors with the Chief Justice of the United States, Justice Roberts, as the judge, really the jury is going to be you. The jury is going to be the American people, and I'm a great believer in the common sense and decency, the fairness of the American people. So you, in this radio audience, are going to be the jury. The grand jury process is going on right now. It's a star chamber, as we're going to get into in a second, so hidden. We're not seeing what's going on. Unlike the Mueller investigation, there's absolutely leaks every day, weaponized leaks. But the grand jury is meeting, and that's what Nancy Pelosi has as this House committee, particularly the Intelligence Committee, is running what is the tantamount to the grand jury investigation. It will be passed for the general trial to the Senate. But you, ladies and gentlemen, in this audience, the hobbits, the deplorables, in Democrats, progressives, you're going to be the jury because the Senate is going to vote how the American people see this plays out. And it's one of the reasons that we called the DEFCON 2 to get involved here is because the numbers are not going the way of the White House. What the White House has done to date, the fake news, the deep state, it's not working. Okay, so something else has to work. And so we're going to have Democrats on here where this is not, we're not, we are partisans, but this show is going to be open. It's going to be full of information. I have my two colleagues that will be here every day, Raheem Ghassam and Jason Millen. Now, why did I pick an Englishman and a backroom communications specialist? And Jason Millen used to be the CNN, one of the CNN contributors. And here's why. Go back to 2016. Brexit and the rise and victory, the comfort victory of Donald Trump. Brexit and the Trump victory are inextricably linked. It is the basically working class and middle class people of both countries, a country that used to be known as our mother country, the United Kingdom, in the United States, rejecting the established order, rejecting what the party of Davos had told them to expect in their lives. Nigel Farage was the Donald Trump of that movement, and Brexit happened in June, and was the forerunner to the Trump revolt. His chief strategist, his head of communications, and in fact the guy that ran the war room for him, is Raheem Ghassam, former managing editor of Breitbart, but a practitioner on how you run a war room, how you mobilize people, how you bring together legal, political, mobilization, grassroots, to do great things and to move history. Today in the United Kingdom, in Parliament today, the historic Saturday meeting, they're still fighting on October 31st, Halloween, they're supposed to be out of the EU. It may or may not happen, but the Brexit has been nullified, or essentially nullified, as they're trying to nullify the 2016 election. Brother Jason Miller was the communications director, I think, for Ted Cruz, but long-term conservatives, grassroots communication director, and then ran communications for Donald J. Trump. And I will tell you, as the CEO that stepped in, that Donald Trump would not be president of the United States if we did not have Miller as communications director. Every incoming, all the heat we took, all the negative stories, all the negative press, Billy Bush, all of it, head down, just plow through it, we're going to get through it. One of the reasons Donald Trump won, one of the central reasons he won, was the communication department we had, of which many of those people in the White House today, including Stephanie Grisham, who was a colleague of Jason's. And so Jason has run war rooms, he's run rapid response groups, all of that. So we have two practitioners, not pundits, practitioners that have run war rooms. In a war room impeachment, that's what we're running here. Taking a little longer than I normally do. I don't like monologues to open up radio shows, but I just did one. That sets it. We're going to try to reset every day. I want to turn now to my colleagues. What I was most impressed with, the show you heard at 6 to 7 this morning was actually recorded here, and where we are, we're at the historic Breitbart Embassy. We're down actually in the bowels of it, in the basement where we're doing this radio broadcast. We're going to move around and maybe have better video in the next couple of days as we move around the embassy. But if you saw Zero Tolerance on Frontline last night, the one thing you see is that this was the beating heart of the resistance to really put immigration front and center and essentially change American history. It wasn't just the people at Breitbart or yours truly. It was really a team effort. Jeff Sessions, Stephen Miller, and all the grassroots organizations. But remember, in those dark days of 2013 and 2014, as they show on Frontline, and you should watch that, it looked like a wing and a prayer. It looked like immigration was going to pass, that they were going to have DACA was going to pass, and it would change American political history. So in the historic building where many of the most important issues, including Nigel Farage coming here talking about Brexit in 2014, have happened, the populist nationalist movement. So let's go. What I was very proud about last night is that we did the show at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, and every issue that you guys brought up was central to what happened on CNN and MSNBC last night, about what Mark Meadows said, about Congressman Meeks came out and talked about Sunland's got to be brought back for further inquiry. Let's go to Taylor's. I want to start with you, Raheem, very quickly. Let's go with Taylor's testimony, or if you want to jump in here and talk about process, because this is about process. I know you guys are very focused on process. Normally, we dismiss process stories. Process stories are not relevant. Process stories fade away. This is a process story. It's going to be a 6 or 8 week process story, and we're going to determine at the end of it. Remember, it's just not about the removal of Donald Trump. What the real plan is, because they don't think they can really remove him. What the real, although it's not a zero probability, it is not a zero probability he will not have Christmas Day in the White House. Okay, it's not a zero. I think it's close to zero, but it's not a zero. What they intend to do is stop the arc of his presidency. Right, and then they want to affect the 2020 elections. And then when I say, don't worry about 2020. You see on Drudge today, they talk about the Democrat candidates. 2020 is not relevant. 2020 doesn't exist. What exists is the here and now, because this in the next 63 days will determine 2020. So it is about process. She is running. Nancy Pelosi is running a process, and what she intends to do is field strip Donald Trump in the next 4 or 5 weeks that she has it, and really blunt the direction of his presidency. Mr. Kassam.
Steve, it comes down to what we started with in the opening, in the pilot episode of this just a couple of days ago, where you said Nancy Pelosi has figured out that, you know, the Mueller investigation, all these other things were too complex a way to assail the Trump presidency. What she's figured out now is there is a very simple thing, one phone call, and tie them up in process. And perhaps because the White House wasn't equipped to deal with the process. We've seen that maybe trying to change over the last 24 to 48 hours, but what Nancy Pelosi...
Not just equipped, but not taking it seriously enough.
Not taking it seriously, not communicating with the Hill, not communicating with anybody, you know, in newsrooms, conservative media. I've been speaking to some conservative journalists over the last couple of days, and they can't believe that they've been effectively stonewalled by the people that they need information from. And so the process is the thing now that is so important, and that's why, you know, 1 hour a day probably isn't even enough for us to get into.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a website. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are riding to the sound of the guns. We thought about this over the weekend after those interviews. We've put this together. Thank God I've got these two colleagues here. My travel, which was going to go to Brazil, Hungary, London, Rome, Taiwan, Hong Kong, all of that. I've put that all on hold, restructuring everything, because this is the only thing that exists in the universe right now. And so you're right. That process is running. And now, hopefully, we've seen the last 24, 48 hours, some awakening, maybe some green sprouts of a defense in an opposition or resistance to the nullification project. This is about the nullification of the 2016 election. And this is not just simply about his removal. What they want to do is stop the driving, organizing principle of the Trump presidency.
And Steve, go back to the process for a moment. People need to realize this master plan that Speaker Pelosi is running right now. And she's doing a masterful job.
You agreed, she's brilliant.
Look, she is the best communications director on the planet right now, par none. And what they're doing is, let's take any given day, any day ending in Y, so to speak. Prior to someone coming up to testify, there is a selective leak of their testimony, of what their opening statement is going to be,
yep,
where they cherry-pick certain details, they leak it out, and magically some 1,200-word story appears, an hour.
Fully edited, with all the links right.
With
perfect grammar.
Five reporters on the byline. This thing magically pops up, laying out a damning case to frame the day. The mainstream media jumps on it. Everybody, broadcast TV, cable TV, all the other dot-coms, they go through this and lay out this perilous day that President Trump is going to have. Then during, you'll see a couple of random tweets from members saying things, the sky is falling during the testimony.
Weaponized tweets. Yesterday, let's be specific, the weaponized tweet that in his opening statement, Taylor was greeted with, you know, gasp and sighs, right? It's kind of dramatic.
Exactly. And then immediately after the testimony or somewhere near the end, a Democratic member walks out and says, yesterday it was Ted Lieu saying, this is terrible, this was horrible for the president, literally, but I can't say anything else. And so you have a member of the committee
coming out. So
it's like next week.
So genius.
Everyone's so whipped up. And then, hold on, but here's the drop kick. Within an hour, another 1,000 to 1,200-word story magically sourced out, lays out everything negative.
Another five on the byline.
Another five people on the byline.
Which you know is so easy to do, right?
Exactly. And that pops
They spent
out.
An hour arguing about the order of the byline, right?
Right. And then buried way down in, say, paragraph 10 and 11, as we saw yesterday, we'll see a Republican member going on the record as opposed to the Democratic sources that are leaking. So Mark Meadows yesterday comes out and says there was nothing new here. And then he also says, quote, as it relates to the quid pro quo, we haven't had any witness suggest that. And that is the key line for everything up to date.
Repeat what Mark Meadows said.
Mark Meadows said, and I quote, as it relates to the quid pro quo, we haven't had any witness suggest that. So that's buried down in the story. That is the key that is completely getting glossed
over.
And
CNN picked that up last night when Congressman Meeks was on. Anderson Cooper brought it up and said, hey, you know, you've got Mark Meadows saying this. What about that? That's when he said, and we talked about this yesterday, we are going to have selective public hearings of certain of this testimony. We'll have to see, but that's right. One of the things we're going to see. The Star Chamber will go from the SCIF. The SCIF is the secure apparatus in the bowels of the Capitol where this trial is, or with the grand jury.
So are these auditions that are taking place right now for the next?
Let's talk
the preseason.
Remember, they know this is the thing about Nancy Pelosi being a master communications director. Their investigators, and as you said yesterday, we have Senator Murphy having dinner back in September. They know what the storyline is. This is episodic. Yeah. They're running this like Succession or House of Cards. They know what the grand picture is, and every day they do another thing that is a cliffhanger, right? You got Taylor yesterday, leads to Cooper today, right? But everyone is a cliffhanger because they understand the entire thing, and that's why they're selectively taking the hottest headlines, right?
Well, and that's why the process is so important. This is why you see a Steve Bannon calling it a star chamber. This is why you see Lee Zeldin and Mark Meadows decrying the fact of this closed-door basement activity. This is why you see OMB Director Russ Vogt calling it a sham process. It's because everything is done behind closed doors, quietly in private, to beat up President Trump in the media, to essentially influence the jury pool. So then by the time we get to anything being public, the cake is already baked. And look, at a certain point, media coverage does influence poll numbers. So as we talk about rising
– The opposition party media.
Right. I mean, as we start talking about the rising negatives for President Trump with independents, that's because it's a 100% negative news.
The numbers are scary. There's 41 to 48, depending what polls, up to 50 of independents are now saying, hey – I believe in the impeachment process.
Well, I have some breaking news for you on that as well. Yep. The Quinnipiac poll that came out this morning says that 55% approve of the inquiry, 43% disapprove, which is up from 51% last week.
These are big
week.
Numbers. These
so
big
it's
numbers.
Not just – we're not just numbers. Talking about – you know, we're not opinionizing, commentating
it's,
on what's
it's,
going on.
It's
this
working.
Is moving things.
It's Morgan, and it's moving quickly. That's one of the things about – she's taking Napoleon's basic strategy of march divided – fight united. She's moving down five central paths with different committees, but it's clearly House intelligence because they can use this gift and be secret. But she's moving down five paths. So the White House and the Hill can't respond to anyone. You have multiple leaks on multiple stories every day, including the Rudy story. What she's going to do is pull everybody together 72 hours before they have a vote. They will fight united, do one vote, up or down, bang, send it to the House. At least that's the way – or send it to the Senate. That's at least the way we see it today. And so we get the website up. We are going to be breaking news on here. We're going to have guests. We're going to have call-ins. We're going to do it all right. Like I said, we're running to the sound of the guns now. So today, we've put this together.
Seems like a good point to plug the website. Yeah. It's warroom.org. Available now.
Warroom.org. Is it up right now?
It's up.
Did they get that background right with the right battle flag? Okay. We're going to be. And I do have a scoop. Some inside baseball here, that I talked to many, many, many House staffers last night. And what I'm hearing, and we can have, you know, the Democrats refute this, and we'll have more tomorrow, they're saying that the members that are sitting in the hearings are asking for the transcripts are not being sent out to members themselves. They're holding actually the transcripts themselves. So even members that are sitting in asking questions do not have the historical record of the transcripts to date. We'll have more on that tomorrow, but that shows me how tightly Nancy Pelosi and her capos are running this. So it's
even to the fact, I mean, again, just to, this is kind of weird for me to do, but to praise Speaker Pelosi for a moment, they're smart enough to not leak Laura Cooper's testimony, her opening statement, her preview today, because the news cycle has been so bad with Taylor's testimony from yesterday.
Don't step on it.
These are literally the best communications directors on the planet.
Yes. The reason is Taylor's is so hot at what they leaked. You don't want Cooper's to step on. Let the story play out more today. Let Chiron.
Laura Cooper arriving right now, by the way, for the pictures coming out of it.
Well, let's talk about Cooper and Taylor, but we're going to go to break here in a minute. But Cooper and Taylor, you know, this is why Stephanie Grisham, who worked for you, Jason, was the wrangler on the campaign. Fantastic, tough, sharp. You know, I can't say enough good things about Stephanie. I don't quite agree with the, you know, that these are unelected radical bureaucrats. You know, Bill Taylor, you can call him a lot of things, but Bill Taylor, West Point graduate, 82nd Airborne, 101st Airborne, Vietnam veteran, a career of diplomacy after West Point and Harvard to go. Now, you may not like his politics, you may not, but he is a Bush guy. He's a guy that brought in by Bush. Now, they are part of the permanent political class. I think they have a different outlook of us, but you can go after it a number of different ways. I don't think you can trash it with saying that he's an unelected radical bureaucrat. And Cooper the same way. Cooper, we're going to get to the next segment, but she seems to be a rising star, and she's selected and Senate confirmed. I think she's Deputy Assistant Secretary. I don't know if that's a Senate confirmed position or not, but let's say it's close enough for government work. But she's a rising star in the Republican Party. Came to work for the government after 9/11. Has been over DOD for 17 or 18 years. Has a tremendous academic background. Terrific. Looks like she's been in all the top spots for someone of that age at that time. I mean, this is someone that you would see as a potential 10 years down the road Secretary of Defense.
This is why you can't necessarily even just go to the witnesses and say, oh, the witnesses cannot be relied upon. You have to go to the process of how the witnesses are being prepped. Right, Jason? Like we were saying yesterday.
Witness tampering.
Tampering, coaching, whatever you call it.
You threw it out there. You think it's witness tampering?
It's absolutely a witness tampering.
You think for a U.S. senator to go, and this is yesterday, had dinner with Taylor back in September?
Chris Murphy.
Chris Murphy had dinner with Taylor in the Ukraine. You think that's witness tampering? Yeah, you think they talked about their testimony?
Of course, absolutely. You don't sit down for 2 hours ahead of this kind of process. What are they going to be talking about? The Dynamo Kiev soccer scores. I mean, it's obvious what's going on here. And that Chris Murphy tweet was an overt heckle. It was an overt way of saying.
Talk about the tweet. Tweet said what a great guy he was, how impressive he was, what a patriot he was.
Chris Murphy. You know, at the exact right time, lavished praise. Halfway through the day, lavished praise upon the star witness.
We got a break. We got to sell some ads here to pay for all of this. John Frederick's Radio Network. You're listening to War Room Impeachment, Episode 3, live at 9 o'clock to 10 a.m. in all throughout Virginia and in Florida. This is Stephen K. Bannon. We're going to take a short commercial break. We will return with Raheem, Jason Miller, Stephen K. Bannon, War Room Impeachment. After a short commercial break.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 23rd October, year of our Lord 2019, joined by Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. You are here live. We just hit this, so I'm about a minute late on that. That's okay. We'll make sure we get ourselves plenty of ads at the end. Okay, what are we doing here? We're running a war room on public media 7 days a week, every day until after the acquittal of Donald J. Trump. We assume right now, of course, everything that Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell has indicated will happen sometime around the day before Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve. And if it's Christmas Eve, then we'll take Christmas Day off to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we'll come back the day after and wrap up. But every day live from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time or Eastern Standard Time, whenever that starts. Okay, I want to turn now briefly. What we're going to do here every day, we're having a website up. It's warroom.org.
.org.
And on warroom.org, you're going to be able to see breaking news. We'll have analysis. We'll have pieces up. It'll be a little light today. We'll link to the most important stories. And every day you can listen in. We're going to prep you to pay attention as a citizen because you're the jury. The Senate's not the jury. The Senate are just instruments that the founders set up to be the jury. You're the jury. The American people will determine this. Raheem just talked about polling a second ago. That's what they're going to be looking at. You, the American people, are going to weigh and measure this. And this is why I don't like using a lot of pejoratives. We'll get in a second about witness tampering, etc. Let's just see what the evidence is. Let's just lay it out. I got a great belief in the jury system. I got a great belief in the common decency and common sense and fairness of the American people, Republicans and Democrats, when they have to do something that's so important. And this is why we're doing this show, because we didn't think at least some people on our side of the football was taking this importantly enough. This is an inflection point in American history. There is no 2020 election. Do not think about the 2020 election. This is all that's important. On the other side of this, we'll set the framework for 2020. And you're the jury. You get to decide. And you're going to weigh and measure the good, the bad, and all that. Let's go today, Ms. Cooper, who is the witness today. Tell us about it, Raheem.
Laura Cooper is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, covering Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia. A pretty unassailable bio. This clearly very talented, very committed public servant.
Jason Miller can assail anything, but keep going. It was selected by President Trump.
Yep.
It's selected by his Secretaries of Defense.
Yep.
She's got, having someone that got a master's degree at Georgetown before I went to Harvard, she got the top master's degree. She went to the Industrial College of the Armed Forces.
BA from Northwestern, MA from the Industrial College of
Armed Northwestern Forces. Northwestern's kind of a mark
MSc
now.
MSc in Foreign Service at Georgetown, Policy Planning Officer at the State Department in the Office of the
That's by the way, that is a top job. Like policy planning is Kennan's old job at State, policy planning at the Defense Department is the beating heart of how they think it through.
Junior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment. I mean, this girl is not just educated up, she's hooked up.
She's not an unelected radical bureaucrat, okay? She's a serious person.
Serious person, but here's where I will back that line. And I want to just push back on that a little bit, Steve. Radical unelected bureaucrat. What I think is implied by that is that there are people who come into these roles or go through that whole career civil service because they want to serve their country. They don't mind who's the president. They don't mind what the policy is going to be. They just want to be there to implement it, right? There are those people. They exist. There are other people who come to it with preset ideological ideas of how they want the U.S. relationship with Ukraine or Eurasia or in the Balkans or wherever it is all around the world. They have this preconfigured notion of what that relationship should look like. And I think that's what the White House is getting at when they say a radical unelected bureaucrats. They are talking about people who have predetermined notions of what they want geopolitically.
Well, listen, this is the permanent political class. This is some of the pushback he's gotten on when he's trying to think through things like Afghanistan. We're trying to think through things like Syria. Remember, I was the only person that had his back on sending missiles into Syria in that room, in the Situation Room we had. And these were patriots. They were good people. They were even-handed people. They just have a different outlook on life than President Trump has. And I agree with that. So that's today is going to be the issue. What do we have any leaks or any idea what her testimony is, or are they not walking on Bill Taylor's stuff from yesterday?
So Jason, I want to see what you think about this. What I glean from the news coverage of this, it's not quite like the Bill Taylor stuff where they're setting up a script that's going to be read. He's going to fill in the blanks between the text messages. Then Sondland's going to be called back. It's not quite like that. Number one, because of what you said, they don't want to step on their news cycle. But number two, I think. So he was their star witness. I think what they want her to do is say, oh, this stuff with Trump, this quid pro quo stuff, it's not just impeachable, it's not just unconstitutional, et cetera, but it harms U.S. foreign policy. It harms the policy-making process. I think she's going to walk them through, line by line.
I actually think what she's going to do is talk about how they work with the Ukrainian military. She's going to present the Department of Defense's thing about the appropriations, about the military aid, how important the military aid was, and how it was – I think she's going to say – hey, it was on a date certain supposed to go.
Yeah.
What would you ask her, Brother Miller?
So Steve and Raheem, this goes to the exact point with the war room of what we would be doing, what we suggest that our allies on Capitol Hill, in the White House, at the RNC should be doing to push back on this. You both laid out a very compelling bio for Laura Cooper. And on paper, it's great. But I think that also this presents a lot of opportunity for Republicans to go and question her credibility on this. So let me lay it out for you. First question asked Laura Cooper, who is your boss in the chain of command? Second question, at any time have you believed that you report to U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland? Question three, since you believe in the chain of command, the State Department has ordered you to not participate in these closed-door sham proceedings. Why are you disobeying a direct order? Four, how long have you been overseeing our efforts in Ukraine? This is important. This is where we flip things to, and this is where I do think that some of the deep state and some of the bureaucratic descriptions do apply. So during that time, I would ask, what have you done to stop corruption in Ukraine? And, of course, you're going to get crickets. During that time, what have you done to get to the bottom of Ukraine's interference in American elections? You're going to hear crickets. And then for the final shot that I would make sure that we put out there, I would ask Ms. Cooper, have you spoken with any Intel Committee majority staff or any Democratic House or Senate members about your testimony? This goes to the
point. Who were they and what did you say?
Exactly. And this goes to the point.
Let's go through. We'll take some time here, Ms. Cooper, and go through this.
And this goes to the witness tampering for what we saw with Chris Murphy yesterday, but then also previously.
You don't think that's witness prep? You think it's witness tampering?
I think it's absolutely. Because, again, okay. the reason why Chris Murphy put
just throwing
that
it out there
was to remind Taylor that he has friends, he has allies.
Somebody's got his back.
Someone's got his back. Just to remind him that there's this universe of people who love what he's doing. There could be a book deal.
What is the purpose of – okay, asking those questions, because you're a guy that thinks narrative. You think the end point you're trying to get to, like the Democrats do. What end point are you trying to get with Cooper?
With Cooper, it's, I think, to Raheem's point about going after overall U.S. foreign policy. But, again, they're going to use her – the fact that I've been here since 2001. I've been a part of the process. I've served presidents of both parties. And what I see now – and then she'll go into descriptive negative descriptions on behavior, negative descriptions on foreign policy, essentially trying to say as a nonpartisan or bipartisan person who's been in government for a long time – I absolutely think that this president and this administration is out of control.
Okay, you're listening to War Room Impeachment, 23rd of October, year of our Lord 2019. Stephen K. Bannon, Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. Every day you're going to get a War Room on what's happening on the impeachment of Donald J. Trump. Here's one of the things before I go to you, Raheem, in the breaking news. This is where I got a problem. You know, Pat Scipione, the White House counsel, sends this 8-page, half-screed, half-tightly-argued legal document, but essentially says no more cooperation, okay? You want us to cooperate, executive privilege, you're going to take us to district court, appellate court, we're going to go to the Supreme Court. No documents, no witnesses, nothing. And every day they're walking up, people from the State Department and now people from the Defense Department. There's a way to – the excuse we're hearing is that, hey, they subpoenaed them both as a deputy assistant secretary of state or defense and also Ms. Cooper personally. Where are the injunctions from the White House counsel's office to stop these witnesses from coming up? Where are they? We're going to have lawyers on that will be able to answer that later in the week. Where – if you're going to go on offense, go on offense. If you're going to send the letter, back the letter up. Don't send the letter and then have seven – major witnesses, Deputy Undersecretary of Defense, Ambassador to the Ukraine, right? Charge of Affairs to Ukraine. All of these people hired by Donald J. Trump or hired by people hired by Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
Where is the White House counsel's office of setting up something simply that Lanny Davis and the Clinton administration would have done or the Nixon administration would have done? What is basically the rules of this? It's beyond me. And I know we're going to get an answer. We're going to get some legal scholars on here later. It is unbelievable that people in this administration are going up in this process and giving this testimony. Breaking news on Matt Gaetz.
Well, and by the way,
the mad bomber, Matt Gaetz.
If people want more on that, you spoke to that very well, I think, in the second episode, which people can catch up with at warroom.org in the first episode as well. And not for nothing. You know, in the first episode, we said, why isn't the White House communicating with the Capitol Hill? 24 hours, they start communicating with Capitol Hill. We said, you know, all of these other things, and including this media advisory that's just coming out of Congressman Matt Gaetz's office right now, 9:45 Eastern Time on Capitol Hill. Matt Gaetz is leading a delegation of Republicans to the House Intelligence Committee deposition. They're demanding, like we said a couple of days ago, the clandestine, in the skiff, all these depositions taking place.
The Star Chamber.
They are now demanding.
They want access to the Star Chamber.
Increased transparency and inclusion in the impeachment process.
Here
they
we
want
go.
They want to make this public. They want the public to be able to hear it, and they want to be able to hear it themselves, not just confined to these guys. So finally, it seems like Republicans are on the offensive.
Okay, let's take the lines of attack that came up last night. We'll take the lines of attack, and I'll tee them up. You guys knock them out. Number one, we had Whitaker, who's rumored to be maybe a potential chief of staff. Whitaker goes, abuse of power, Bannon, you keep saying abuse of power, obstruction. Abuse of power is not a high crime and misdemeanor, not a crime. Can't be used in impeachment. We'll get to that in a second. But at least it's a line of attack, and I say it's a great line of attack. You've got then Mitch McConnell. Lindsey Graham comes out and says, I'm putting before the United States Senate a resolution we're going to condemn this process as being secret. Mitch McConnell then comes out later and says, we're going to – tells the senators yesterday at the lunch, the week before – he drops the bomb that this thing could go 6 weeks. The trial could go every day from 1 o'clock until it closes every evening, right, starting when they get the impeachment, and it could go up to 6 weeks. That's a lot different than he said at the beginning, which is, hey, I'm going to shut this thing down in 30 seconds. He says today or last night, he tells them at the lunch yesterday, we're going to – you got to go out and criticize the process. And then the next line of attack is about the – about the secrecy of the Star Chamber in the SCIF, what the House Intelligence Committee has, and I know this because I spent many hours with those folks down on the during the investigation. It's a SCIF, which is a secret place. You can't cyber attacks can't get into. It's in the bowels of the Capitol, highly secured, and this is where it's where all the classified briefings are given, or some of the classified briefings. This is where this is given. I don't know if this should be classified. Why is it down in a SCIF? So let's talk about this. Do you see the lines of attack? What else about Gates?
Let me just read what Lindsey Graham said about this specifically, okay, so that you have context to this, Jason. This quote, this process in the House is being conducted behind closed doors. Republicans are being shut out. And if you had an inquiry vote that allows Republicans and a president to call witnesses and to confront people accusing the president of misdeeds, that's what happened with Clinton. That's what happened with Nixon and Andrew Johnson. Jason.
Yeah, no, I think Lindsey Graham and Senate Republicans and House Republicans are completely right to criticize this process. I think but it's important to point out this is just one dynamic of the lines of attack. And again, the base gets it. When you talk about things being done in secret, things being done that are hidden down in the
base. But
the base
doesn't
Capitol.
Get it. The base is sitting there leaning on your rakes, ladies and gentlemen. You're leaning on your rakes. You're listening to deep state. You're listening to fake news. Nobody's fired up. We got to get people fired up.
Well,
people,
so,
the base will get it once they're exposed to the information. But heretofore, look, Nancy Pelosi started this 1 month ago yesterday. She stood in front of a microphone and said, we're going to start an impeachment inquiry. We're not going to take it to the House for a vote, but we're going to start it. And I'm going to start six lines of attack and drive it. And so everybody's been leaning on their rakes.
So that's why I said it's one part of the pushback. Here's the fundamental problem that Trump allies have right now. We don't have an elevator pitch to easily describe this away. And this whole nonsense with
their elevator pitch being he went to a foreign government and asked for political information. He held back military assistance to a foreign government for dirt on his political opponent in the 2020 election.
Yeah.
Boom, that's it. That takes 30 seconds. That's up or down.
The door to the elevator hasn't even closed by the time you delivered that. That's quick.
Right.
It's tight. It's concise. But when you go to the Republican side and you start going through, it was Colonel Mustard in the library with the candelabra.
Whatever we can do, we can't do Rudy's thing anymore, or going on Laura Ingraham or going on Sean Hannity. And this whole thing about the Ukraine and all this stuff, it's too complicated. I got too many Ukrainian names. I got too many moving pieces.
This has to be kept very simple.
No more yellow pads. Put it up on the thing. It's too much.
Very clearly, there was never any quid pro quo, and no witnesses have said anything.
It's Mark Meadows' mantra.
Yes.
Mark Meadows said it yesterday. He has sat through these things. He sits down in the SCIF and he says he has not heard anything that's changed, anything that's out there publicly. He said there's not one piece of information from one witness, and I've heard this from people I've heard this from staffers who have sat in this and said that this is the reason that they're not giving the transcripts to the staff. They're not giving the transcripts to the members. There's not one thing that's been said in its totality that changes anything. Certainly no quid pro quo.
And exactly. And the same way that Clinton's team would bifurcate the you can't go and knock him for personal indiscretions because he's doing a good job, keep the two things separate, the same can be said on Republicans. We're going to say we don't like the way that President Trump the way he was talking on this particular phone call, but there's nothing illegal here. There's nothing impeachable here. And both things can be true at the same time. And Republicans, whether it's someone who's a hardcore Trump supporter or someone who's a fair weather fan in a swing district that's up in 2020, that is something all of them can go to.
This we had yesterday on the show. We had the Truth Exposed, which was done, I think, was Pelosi's office put the information together and then got out. Everybody had it. This is a powerful document. What they've done is curated a bunch of different information, put it down, and this is the type of thing that you can then amplify.
Yep.
Amplification.
Super easy to digest.
These people are very smart, and this is one of the things on the right. You've got to get your mind right on this. I don't care about what you think about the ideology. I don't care what you think about them personally. This is a professional operation. They are running this. This is like a blitzkrieg. They're running this bang, 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 bang every day. And the process is winning. How do we know the process is winning? Look at the poll numbers. Look at independents. Look at Republicans. There's polls now 14% to 21% of Republicans.
Steve, what do you say to the people? There are going to be people out there who listen to what you just said and say, oh, but the polls are fake news. What do you say to them?
Look, Rasmussen was a poll that was always right about us. I think Rasmussen is at 52% for impeachment now. Look at the averages of the polls. The polls have gotten much more sophisticated. Look at the undercards. In fact, what we're going to do is talk about the polling. Probably this weekend and every day we'll give you an update on the polling, update on the math. But just don't sit there and say, oh, they're always underrated poll. That is an excuse. That means you're going to lean on your rakes. If you lean on your rakes, he's going to get impeached by Nancy Pelosi, and the trial in the Senate is going to be – this is what it's about. It's not about acquittal. It's about a conditional acquittal, because trust me, they're going to take a pound of flesh out of Donald Trump for the acquittal, okay? What are they going to do? The three legs of the stool, immigration, build the wall, engage, confront China, bring manufacturing jobs back, and get out of these endless foreign wars. That's the three-legged stool of the Trump – of the Trump agenda, coupled with underneath the deconstruction of the administrative state. Do not think that Mitch McConnell and the Republican establishment and the donors that hate what he's doing with China, that hate what he's doing with the wall, that want to continue these endless wars, do not think they're just going to sit there and go, oh, you're acquitted, 30 seconds, let's move. No, it is going to be conditional. The way you make it closer to unconditional, you have zero Republicans in the House vote on this, and we're going to have what we call a wall of shame. We're going to start talking about specific members in the Republican Party of where they sit in the House of voting for this. We're going to do that every day and update that on the website. We're also going to talk about the congressman from the 7th District of Virginia in Richmond, the CIA agent that beat Dave Brat, because her, the 31 that won, and this is Max Rose in Staten Island, right? This is it Mikey Sherrill, the Naval Academy graduate helicopter pilot that won New Jersey 11. These are Republican districts carried by Donald Trump that these Democrats won in a great victory for the Democratic Party in the House. It's those. You have to get those closer to zero. This is not about acquittal. This is about not blunting the direction of the Trump presidency. And the way you do that is you fight now.
Is this why those seven GOP senators wouldn't rule out?
Let's talk about the Daily Caller.
This is the big Daily Caller piece from yesterday. The Daily Caller,
Henry Rogers, one of the best
Henry
reporters.
Henry Rogers, Justin Caruso. The Daily Caller contacted every Republican Senate office this week and asked if they would rule out impeachment. Many Senate offices were unwilling to respond to the inquiries altogether.
Hello.
This is a conservative news outlet contacting so-called conservatives. They can't get a response in the negatory.
Yeah, and I think that's completely ridiculous. I mean, the fact that there hasn't been any quid pro quo proven in any stretch, and yet this many offices who are running for the tall grass, I think one is pretty telling, and two is pretty problematic. Now, the one thing I want to go to, we've beaten up a lot on some of our allies, whether it be White House or some of the.
We're not beating up. No, this is terms of endearment.
It's not.
We're all on the same.
We're
all on the same team. Look, when I stepped in and you remember this, the first thing we did was get Reince Priebus, and we got Sean Spicer. We gave a big embrace to Mitch McConnell and the establishment. We won as a coalition. We may not have governed as a coalition, but we won as a coalition. We're only going to win this as a coalition, but everybody's got to get on point. Everybody's got to get on watch. There's no more leaning on rakes. The problem we got now is people leaning on rakes.
So let me tell you what I think the White House is doing that's very smart right now. And this is reported out this morning by the Wall Street Journal's Mike Bender and Natalie Andrews. I know Mike Bender and his reporting. He's excellent, married to a Pulitzer Prize winner, so he probably gets beaten up on that on a daily basis. But Ashley's great, too. But they have a story in the Wall Street Journal this morning that says White House battling impeachment looks to coordinate with Hill and GOP. Yeah. That the White House has started holding conference calls, daily calls, with select members of the House to go through here are the pushback points. Yep. This is great. Now, buried down in the story, it said there hasn't been that much information shared so far.
And it hasn't been at a high level. It's been legislated for it. But you know what? It's a start. It's a green sprout. It's something that didn't exist over the weekend.
This is good. Where we need to expand it is to then certain members of the Senate. But let's not stop there. Let's think about our key allies who are, say, Federalist Society members, Republican attorneys general, former U.S. attorneys. These are people that the White House, and again, if the White House doesn't want to take it to non-lawmakers, then fine, then have the RNC do it or have some outside folks. This is a very positive development.
Listen, we got a couple of minutes left. This is fantastic. So we are going to have Federal Society people on. We're going to have legal scholars on. We're going to have Democrats on. This is where we're trying to lay out all the information. In fact, next week I'm trying to book a couple of Democrats for Monday or Tuesday. We're also going to have grassroots. We're going to take your calls. We're going to have a comment section up on the website. The grassroots is central here. We'll hopefully have Jenny Beth Martin, the Tea Party groups, all of those on here, because that's all got to be part of the process. The left is very engaged in this, and we're going to get very engaged.
And the great news, yep, I'd say, Steve, and I'm sure you and Raheem, you as well, have gotten flooded with this over the last 24 hours. I have people coming out of woodwork saying, how do I get on the show?
Yes.
How do I come and sit down with,
yes,
Steve Bannon and Raheem and,
yes,
and get a chance to talk about this? There is such a desire, such an energy by Trump allies to have a focal point to go to talk about this pushback effort. That's where I'm very encouraged by, is people want to hear this message.
Okay, we got under a minute. Raheem, how can people go get this every day?
People need to go to...
Was that my producer?
People need to go to warroom.org. They can sign up, listen live, all of it. Warroom.org is your URL to sign up.
Okay, we're going to be back here on the John Fredericks Radio Network. We're going to be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. This is War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam of Brexit fame, Jason Miller of the Trump 2016 fame. This is Stephen K. Bannon. I want to thank John Fredericks. I want to thank his entire production crew. We have put this together a little bit with bailing wire, but we've put it together. We got a website up. That website's going to be flooded with information. Those interviews we can't get on here on live. We're going to do it, off the books up on there. But I tell you, it's going to be one place you can go to every day, every minute, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day until the day after the acquittal of Donald J. Trump. This is Stephen K. Bannon. We will see you.